Diary, March 1900. March 1st to 25th, 1900. Sunnyside, Currumbong. In consideration of soon leaving Currumbong for Geelong camp meeting, I wrote a letter. Wednesday morning. I have not been able to sleep through the night. My soul has been wrestling constantly for the light to understand my duty. I am seeming to be drawn by strong cords to America, and I am unwilling to make this move, which involves so much, unless the Lord shall make known my duty so plain that I shall not be mistaken. I feel now that I can leave the work in Australia in other hands. I am not able to see how the sanitarium is going up. The Lord knows all about the delay, and he will not hold me responsible after I have made the calls so decidedly from the source that should have helped the sanitarium, but the means which should have established us some time ago did not come to us in response to my call. We left on morning train and spent the afternoon in conversation with Brother Crothers, and afterwards Sister Tuxford, and afterwards Dr. Caro. We then went from Summer Hill to Sydney, and were well located in sleeper on our route to Melbourne. But the berth was so hard, I could not sleep much. Changed cars in morning and had good accommodations to Melbourne. Was invited to stop the few hours we could remain at Brother Richard Anderson's. A. Hack took us to their place. Had pleasant interview with Brother and Sister Anderson. Wrote letter home. Then the hack took us again to station, and we were 2 hours and a half in reaching Geelong. Thursday morning changed cars. Had good accommodations in the cars that took us on our way to Melbourne. The berth was so very hard, I could not sleep much. Changed cars at 7 o'clock. We had opportunity to rest lying down on the seat. We will not murmur, even in thought, when we contemplate the life of Christ Jesus and what he suffered for us. Geelong, Victoria. I did not rest well through the night. The lame hip troubled me very much. I attended 6 o'clock morning meeting. There was not a large number out. Elder McCullough led the meeting. Talked well. There were several prayers offered to God. I united my voice with the rest, and the Lord blessed me. I bore a decided testimony in regard to educating the soul to give praise and thanksgiving to God. Geelong, Victoria. Attended the morning meeting. There were more in number than Friday morning. The Lord gave me the burden of supplication, and I was assured that the Lord would bless the souls who were feeling their need. The promise is, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Matthew 5, verse 6. Geelong, Victoria. I was awake at 3 o'clock. I felt a burden of writing. The Lord has given me a message for his people, and I must bear that message to them by pen and voice. After writing 8 pages of letter paper, I walked to the tent. We had a large number present. Brother Starr conducted the meeting. I spoke to the people in regard to the exercise of faith and claiming the promise of God without watching and testing our faith. It is ours to believe that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. The Lord gave me a spirit of prayer, and I expect he will answer my petition and verify the promise he has made. Brother Farnsworth prayed, and will the Lord answer? He says, ask, and ye shall receive, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7, verse 7. Geelong, Victoria. I went into the meeting this morning and read from several articles in reference to that which pertains to our work for the present time. Geelong, camp meeting. I feel deeply grateful to God that I was not compelled to keep silent upon Sabbath and Sunday. Those were important days for the camp meeting. Brethren Farnsworth and Daniels spoke with great clearness and power, and the people were listening with rapt attention. The Spirit of the Lord was upon the speakers. Elder Starr, with the other ministers, was greatly blessed with freedom. The camp meeting was to close Sunday night, but the people requested and signified with uplifted hands it was their wish to have the meeting held over 1 week longer. We had the blessing of the Lord throughout the 2 weeks. Nothing of any consequence had occurred to interrupt the meeting. The weather was excellent. The people would come upon the ground and come to hear. They manifested no curiosity to see the inside of the tent houses on the encampment. They pressed directly under the tent and earnestly made for the forward seats, and then listened attentively. We could but feel the quietness as though the angels of the Lord were upon the encampment, and there was manifest the deepest interest. An awe seemed to be upon the people. It seemed to be the place of meeting between God and His people. The Bible was the foundation and composed the whole mass of the instruction given. I never have felt more decidedly the presence of the Holy Spirit that was certainly with me on that occasion. When I was on my feet speaking from the Word, I was receiving the most precious ideas and most forcible light and power of the Word for the people. Such evidence as this is encouraging to me, for it is the assurance of the help of heavenly agencies that were about me. Words seemed to come so clearly, and the people felt the power of the words spoken. Thank the Lord. O, my soul, praise His holy name. Geelong, Camp Meeting. The camp meeting is to continue another week. There is some change in the weather, and yet the people scarcely diminish in attendance. A good hall has now been secured, the best in East and West Geelong, and if rain comes, there must be a transfer to the large, well-seated hall. We have had in all respects the most exceptionally favorable weather that we have had for any camp meeting we have ever attended. The ministers have proclaimed the truth, and the trumpet has given a certain sound. The truth has been proclaimed with distinctness and power, and still the interest is not abated. There have been many prayers offered to the throne of heavenly grace. It is only at the altar and from the hand of God that we can receive that celestial torch which, while it discovers our own human weakness and incompetence, points us to the source of all light, all power, all sufficiency in the place where God meets with His people, and we place ourselves under His guidance. The Holy Spirit comes to every conscious, dependent soul and leads us upon the broad platform of eternal truth. Repetition of simple truth, not in the very same words, is essential. Let not parents suppose they are to dwell upon cheap things, all common things, in their instruction. There is a large taking in, by some minds, of the most precious things as heavenly pearls. In all our meetings, we need to rely certainly and continuously upon a power that will never diminish by imparting. Heaven is full of the riches of grace which is to be imparted to receiving minds in all our meetings. Then how important that the word shall come from consecrated lips and hearts that are cleansed, purified. My testimony is, pray, believe, pray, and receive the riches of grace to impart. We dare not trust in ourselves, but wholly in God. Believe, receive, impart. There is no exhausting the heavenly supply. Praise the Lord, O my soul. March 25, 1900. Geelong, Victoria. We left Geelong Friday, March 23rd, at 8 o'clock a.m., I having an appointment to speak to the church at North Fitzroy, Sabbath afternoon. We had a good, intelligent congregation, and I spoke from Matthew 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt," etc. Verse 19. That evening we were in Geelong. Sunday, I spoke in the beautiful hall that is secured for meetings to follow up the efforts that shall be made to bind off the work begun at the camp meeting. The Lord is good. He gave me strength to speak to the people in this hall Sunday afternoon to about 200 people. Brother Farnsworth spoke in the evening. I do not know. I will learn of the meeting. Now this morning at 8 o'clock I go to Melbourne, at 5 o'clock take the cars for Sydney, and we shall meet Elder Daniels and John Wessels in Melbourne. They take the boat on Wednesday, March 28th, for Africa. W.C. White and Sarah and Brother Daniels went on the sailing vessel for Africa. They reported a nice, large boat. This place, Geelong, will have a company to take their position upon the truth, and God will bless them. Already the meeting house question is a live one. I am glad that one Brother Watson is able to do something in the building of a house of worship. When he embraced the Sabbath, he was receiving £3.10 per week, but his employer turned him off. Then he was somewhat troubled as to what he should do. His business is that of a tester of wool. He has skill and understanding in trading in wool. He commenced business on his own account and did well. Then other firms wished him to take their means and invest in wool. He did this, receiving £10 per week. Then this firm, where he had been employed, wanted him back. He gave a decided refusal, but said he would work for them in taking their money and purchasing for them. They placed in his hands £600. He found a good chance and invested £800. This brought to his employer double, yes, triple his money value. But he trades for many firms, and his wages are often £20 per week. His employer now sees his mistake and urges him to come back, but he will not go. He gave $125 to the expense of the camp meeting and £20 for the sanitarium, and he will be able to do something large in the putting up of a church building in West Geelong. There is a man and his wife who have taken their stand on the Sabbath. This man is retired on his property. He will help build the meeting house. There is now the work to be carried on by house-to-house workers in giving Bible readings and instruction wherever they can get in. But Elder Daniels going to Africa and Elder Farnsworth to Tasmania makes the working forces short.